Thank you all. So I am back to, as I said at the beginning of the meeting, would like to turn to Pam Maxey in the Planning and Planning Development and Environmental Quality Committee. So if you would go for it.
I just offer a short report on our meeting on December 1st of the Planning PDAC Committee. Of interest is Ed Marks, the head of the Planning Department, talked about a couple of initiatives related to our energy and greenhouse gas emissions component of the comprehensive plan. There is evidently Cuga Medical is interested in pursuing putting in a combined heat and power project, which would be very exciting. And then there was just further discussion on the possibility of the wind farm in Enfield and the progress on that, which doesn't seem to be huge at this point. We had several very good discussions on topics that you will be are certainly on the agenda tonight. We went through all of the tourism approved grant awards. And then we spent a fair amount of time on the continuing discussion on the gas drilling, banning gas drilling on Tompkins County land. And that is a quick summary of what we did. I guess I have two resolutions since one got taken off of the consent agenda. So I guess I would like to move designation, resolution L, designation of Tourism Promotion Agency for state fiscal year 2010-2011, and I so move.
Kara seconds. Dooley.
I asked that it come off because I did not understand the state fiscal year 2010-2011. I thought the state fiscal year started before now, so I wasn't sure if the year dates in this resolution were what you really meant. Did that make sense?
Well, that did. Something else doesn't make sense here, but I think that it would be for, that's it, because we are in the 2010-2011 year.
I have a little birdie over here telling me that it's accurate because
Jackie Kimball has said that the documentation and all of this agreement was done late in the year and that the 2010-2011 dates are accurate.
So what are the months involved?
She did not give me the months.
Carol?
I was just going to suggest that Fred Bond, who is our representative, is in the back of the room and might be able to answer the question if we...
Can we put you on the spot, Fred?
Certainly. So this designation is a reflection of the state issuing the matching funds grant very, very late in their cycle. Typically, we're coming in asking for this designation in June. We just received notice in December that in November that the state was issuing this grant, so thus the hustle. The funds that would be funding this grant cycle are from the 2010-2011, the year that we're in right now, state fiscal year. It's just very delayed in getting on the street, and then we're very delayed in obviously coming to you to get this designation.
Pam?
So it would be July 1st, 2010. To June 30th, 2011? Is that what we're talking
about? This is looking at the state's fiscal year of April 1.
April 1.
That goes back to April 1 of 2010, moving through and forward to March. These are monies that we will be getting in 2011. It's a squirrely calendar situation. But I hope I brought some clarification. Dooley, are you okay?
Yes, you brought clarification. I think it would be helpful to have a note explaining something like that when it's so mismatched with the actual dates.
I'll work with Jackie on that. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Ready to vote? Leslie. Every year I think I have the same question, and I'm going to ask your indulgence to take the first whereas and do some switcheroo of language on it. The word awarded suggests to me that there was some sort of a bid or RFP process, and I don't understand that to be the case for this. That it is just the TCCVB is just designated as the TPA.
I'm sorry, where are
I'm
you?
I'm the first resolve.
Okay.
Oh, first resolve.
Resolve on recommendation of the PDEQ that blah, blah, blah be awarded to. And I've asked for this just to be that the Ithaca Tompkins Convention and Visitors Bureau be designated as the TPA for the state fiscal year.
Okay, so we could say be designated?
Yes.
All right, that's friendly.
Switches to active verse instead of passive. All right, with that change, that's friendly, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. Ready to vote? All in favor of the resolution L, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you.
I have one more resolution. Resolution S, authorization to enter into a multi-year lease agreement for the Workforce Investment Board. And I so move.
Is there a second? Pat seconds that.
This is they are moving, and they with TCAD, and this is helping them to do that.
Any questions? All ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution S, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Will you go home now? Thank you. All right. So that's it for PDEC. I'd like to go to Resolution Z, Member File Resolution. Jim Dennis.
Thank you. Let me just read the heavy black print and resolution of the Tompkins County Legislature to A, approve the issuance by the Tompkins County Industrial Development Agency of its recovery zone exempt facility bonds in the aggregate principal amount not to exceed $2,321,000 as the elected body of Tompkins County, New York. B, dedicate the entire recovery zone facility bond allocation to the project in connection with the financing thereof. And C, consent to the dedication of all or portion of the payments under the pilot agreement to be made available to pay debt service on the bonds or other financial instrument or otherwise available for other qualifying project costs, all as described below. And I would move that.
Is there a second? Pat seconds that resolution.
Let me make one comment before I make nine comments. I would like to remove lines 72 and 73 from the resolution, and maybe I should have done that before I moved it, that says resolved on rec of the PDAC committee and by the legislature of Tompkins County, because PDAC committee did not recommend this. So please remove that.
Well, I assume you still have to say resolve that.
Okay.
Got it. So from on recommendation to Tompkins County goes away. Okay. All right. So, you want to go for your nine comments?
Yes. It was actually going to be a top 10 list, but when I started out, my list was diminished by some of the more erudite speakers in the back of the room. But let me just begin. My reason for putting this on was that I think that much of what has been said has been cleared up by Eric Getzman this evening, by clearly the mayor of the village of Lansing, who came down here and said to all of us that they were supporting this project. This project started out as a BJ's coming to some land in the pyramid or the Shops of Ithaca area, and the developer had his opportunity to do that, and when he went for a zoning change on the land, as you all know, it became apparent to him from the Village of Lansing Planning Board and others that he had to add a component. And the component is the senior housing that he had to add on to his project to make it fit into the zoning requirements that Village of Lansing put out. The impression that has been given, and Eric Gessman tried to clear it up again, and I will do my best, that we're giving a tax break to BJ's, and the developer, it does not happen. We are using the PIF bonds to write down the cost of the 12-unit housing, which makes it affordable for the people who are trying to go in there. What my sense of all this is, we have a piece of land up there right now that's developing $30,000 a year in income or in property tax for the residents of Tompkins County. There is an argument among people here in the legislature and others that what is the value of the piece of property that will be on the land after BJ's and the senior housing project is built, if it possibly gets through all of this that we're talking about. If the argument is, if you break it out evenly, if there's an argument between our assessment department and what the statement is, if you came down in the middle of that, you would still end up with many more dollars on the property tax roll than you currently are generating from that piece of land, which is, again, $30,000 a year. I've heard at many meetings that there is no public benefit to this project. And I submit to you there is a public benefit. And the public benefit is the sales tax numbers that you've been people have said to you. Our own David Squires has come up with a number between $700,000 and $800,000 in sales tax. And my experience in 5 years here have told me that David Squires has been pretty accurate when he does numbers. But in this case, let me just say, if he was half accurate, he would have a number like $400,000 to $450,000. And as chair of the budget committee, I would have been very happy with $450,000 2 weeks ago, and so would all of you, because we had to raise the levy 1% to just take care of the child welfare programs that all of us, or many of us, wanted to support, and as we heard people come and talk to us, were needed by the community. So if this project fails at this point, someone said $20 million in the future in sales tax, I think it's a very difficult thing for an elected body to look someone in the eye and say, I don't want your money, I don't need your money, we're going to do this another way. And you and I both know what the other way is. It's raise property taxes. And that to me is unacceptable, knowing what I know and knowing what you know in the future for our expenses that we already know are going to hit us in the next couple of years. I think you have to look at what this means to the community. And, you know, I really have a question about BJ's, the kind of people, and I'm not going to suggest that a certain level of people go there, but the kind of person who wants to go to BJ's, who needs to go to BJ's, are coming in, would come into this county and buy the things that they need to buy because it's cheaper there. They can buy them in a bulk rate, and they can take an advantage to that. And interesting thing to me is we sit here in the county legislature, go over and over and over social programs and try to fit money into the programs, and the same people that we have who are recipients of our social programs are many of the same people who would relish a BJ's, who would go to Sam's Club if there was one here, because that's the way they can afford to live in this county. So I think, and I have to believe this, if $140 million of expenditures have left this county, and I think the term developers use is leakage, and it's a curious term, but as people leave the county and spend money someplace else, we have no opportunity to get anything on that. And I think we have to offer an opportunity for people to have a store like BJ's, and also the Village of Lansing, to have their senior housing that they want to use as a buffer between the residential, the commercial development, and the rest of the land up there. So I would hope that people will support this. I know the discussion will go many, many different directions, but let me just remind you of one other thing. 46% of the property in this county is off the tax roll. And the only thing we can do is raise the taxes or generate sales tax. And I got elected to the city council in 1974 when people back here were talking about that Rothschild did not use a benefit for a commercial structure. The reason that was not used, and it was fully intent, I don't think anybody in the room was there, including the mayor, who was not on the city council at that time. The only reason that wasn't used is because the whole project had so many bad starts. The Rothschilds Caldwell project, and I hate to remember that name, but were all there, and they were not able to pull that project together. But at that point, every effort was made to use whatever advantage the city could have to develop downtown Ithaca, because it was the central core. Interestingly enough, and I will say this to Eric Gessman, who is obviously much younger than me, as a member of the city council in those days, I was involved in passing a resolution to shut off the water to the town of Lansing, because we thought if we did that, we could stop that terrible pyramid mall. Well, what it really made happen was that the town of Lansing decided they would have, and the town of Ithaca would build Bolton Point, which was actually a great advantage to the community. So whatever part we had that in the city in those days, I hope you don't still hold it against the city. But clearly, it was an effort on our part to make downtown Ithaca the place to the commercial center of the county. Pyramid came. They've done what they've done, and they've made a difference in the county. They brought sales tax to the county. I think this project would bring needed sales tax to the county at the same time.
Thank you, Jim. Pat?
Thank you. It seems as if there's probably not much left to say after all of our speakers here this evening and Jim's very eloquent words. Jim's not the only person who's come over to the county legislature after serving on common council in the city. And it's been very interesting to sit here this evening and listen to some of my former friends and former colleagues from downtown as they presented their concerns, and to now be looking at this from the broader viewpoint of the county. One of the things which has been mentioned in just about every conversation that I have taken part in having to do with this proposal, at some point someone has pointed out that and in fact I think we probably, most of us today, received a communication which pointed out that the Benderson development on Elmira Road in Ithaca was built entirely without any kind of tax abatements or tax credits. And that is true. The IDA did not support that development on Elmira Road. However, it's not totally accurate to say that that was built without an outlying of money from taxpayers, because being in the city at the time that we were doing that development, I'm trying to recall what the figures are, but one of the things that was necessary for that development to take place was a great deal of infrastructure that had to go in. And the infrastructure within the development itself was paid for by the developer, but the city had to invest As I recall, the number was somewhere in the millions of dollars to upgrade Route 13 so that that section of the city could handle the traffic, which was going to be generated by that development downtown. And that entire output of money came from taxpayers. So true, it didn't go through the IDEA. It wasn't in the form of a tax abatement, but there was certainly plenty of taxpayer money that went to help support bringing that development to the city and to Tompkins County, because certainly there are residents of the county who do go down and shop down there on Elmira Road, just as there are people from the city who come up and shop at Pyramid Mall. I'd also like to mention there's been a question as to whether or not the figures on leakage are accurate, and I can't really speak to that, but what I can tell you is that one day last spring, an organization that I belong to did a lawn sale up on the Auburn Road going up toward Auburn in the town of Lansing, and we had all of our stuff out on the front lawn there and selling it on a Saturday morning. Saturday morning, where was all the traffic going? Heading north, up to Auburn. Saturday afternoon, as we were getting ready to wrap up our lawn sale, where was all the traffic going? Coming back to Tompkins County from Auburn. Anybody who's traveled on Route 13 knows that the same kind of thing happens as people go over to Cortland, people go to Horseheads. How many times have you gone to shop in one of those places and run into somebody from Ithaca when you're there shopping? So I may not know exactly what the figure is, but it doesn't. There's no question in my mind but what there's leakage, that there are dollars that are going out of Tompkins County that we need very much. I'm glad Jim reminded us of the budget season that we just came through, because one of the things that I think a number of us have said is, as bad as this year was, it wouldn't surprise us if next year is even worse. And I've heard well thought out arguments on both sides of this question from both supporters and opponents of this, but what it comes down to for me is we have an opportunity here to generate sales tax for Tompkins County at a time when the economy is in a really, really tough place. Communities are fighting to get development to come to their communities. There's a synergy that happens when you start doing development, and developers want to go where they see development happening. Likewise, developers are not going to be so anxious to go where nothing's happening. So just the fact that this development would be coming to Tompkins County, I think, is good for the county, aside from the actual sales tax figures itself. So having weighed all of these pros and cons, and I will say that I started out being very skeptical about this project for all the reasons that have been stated here tonight, but I have decided that it would be very irresponsible of me not to support this. So I am going to support it, and I hope my colleagues will also.
Thank you, Pat. I have Peter and then Nathan. Let me just point out that in your folders is a memo from Jay Franklin on the structure of the PIF that's part of this, at the spreadsheet that's at the end of the resolution. I emailed this. He finished it up this morning, and I emailed it to everybody as soon as I got it. The punchline, if you will, is that his estimate, his professional judgment is that the growth rate should be 4%. Since this was received, and we also sent it to Eric Getzman and Andrew Sussman, and there's been additional conversation between the two of them, or among the three of them, and in terms of the, so that the net yield over 20%, over 20 years would be 4%, Jay has agreed that it should be 3.15 should be that growth rate, which means that this spreadsheet needs to be recalculated. Michael Stam told me at the beginning of this meeting that based on if this goes forward, and it will be considered by the IDA on Monday morning, there's no time right now to recalculate. those numbers, but basically the developer said that they agree, if I assume this is correct, and Eric, that 3.15 is the number that you would agree to in that, and that satisfies Jay's needs. So that is something that that y'all should have for your information. In addition, during the day, I emailed the two reports that have been discussed, the independent accountant's analysis, commissioned by the by TCAD about the internal economics and the numbers on in the various projections from the developer. I emailed this to you. This was, that study was will be paid for by Arrowhead, by the developers, but the consultant was chosen by TCAD. They have used this company in the past. The market and feasibility study, I also emailed you that, and that was commissioned by Arrowhead and paid for by Arrowhead. That's not a consultant that that TCAD has worked with in the past. So just wanted to let you know. Those things are in your inboxes. If anybody wants a hard copy, then we've got those as well. But I didn't copy all that for everybody.
I have a question about those, the memo from Jay Franklin.
All right, tell you what. I had, what did I say, Peter and then Nathan, and then we'll come to your question, Carol. Okay? I just wanted to let you know that those things were out here. Peter.
Excuse me. Like Pat, I started out skeptical about this project, but unlike Pat, I'm still skeptical. There's a couple of issues here. I too hate to turn down this enormous amount of sales tax revenue that is going to be generated by this project, or is said to be generated by this project. Obviously, that would have been a big help had it been in existence when we were going through the last budget cycle, and I'm sure if it in fact materializes, it'll be a help the next budget cycle. So on the face of it, that ought to be a strong incentive for me to vote yes. The problem I have a couple of problems with it. One is I'm skeptical about that number, and secondly, I am not very happy about a government interjecting itself into what is essentially a competition between stores in the private sector to influence one to help one at the expense of another. Now, of course, if it's new income, then in fact there's no competition. But to the extent that it's not in new income, there is a competition. Now, I'm told many times that in fact we're not helping BJ's, that the PIF does not help BJ's. But then I wonder, why is it that we need the help, that BJ's needs this help in order to do the project? It confuses me a little bit. I don't really understand it, but I've come to the conclusion that what we're doing is helping to build, what we're giving this tax abatement for is to help build 12 senior housing properties, which to me doesn't make a whole lot of sense. That doesn't seem to me what the IDA should be doing. I mean, somebody's benefiting from it, and if it isn't BJ's, it must be the senior housing. That doesn't make sense to me. Now, the argument about is this generating new income, or is this merely displacing income? If it's, I believe it's displacing income, but who is it displacing from? Now, the argument is that it's going to draw people in from the outside. It's obviously not going to draw people in from the Syracuse area because there is a BJ's in Syracuse. It's obviously not going to draw people in from Horseheads because there's a Sam's Club in Horseheads. So it's not, now if on the other hand we hear a lot about the leakage that exists in Tompkins County, where people from Tompkins County, because they want to go to one of these retailers, is going up to Syracuse to buy from BJ's there, or down to Horseheads to buy from Sam's Club. But then those people are buying something. Whatever it is they want to buy, they're going to Syracuse or Horseheads to buy. They're buying it, I suppose, in Ithaca if they're not going to Horseheads to do it. So if those people, I assume that if they're Tompkins County residents at the moment who are doing it, my guess is that they're the things that they would be buying at BJ's, that they will buy at BJ's, they're now buying from Wegmans or Tops or something like that. Now, of course, I mean, that's what my guess is, but I have no expertise in this area at all. But I'm told, I was visited by, I'm sorry, I've forgotten your last name, Eric?
Yes.
Kasman, thank you. I was visited by Eric in my office today and told him that was my fundamental skepticism, that I wasn't really convinced that this was going to draw business, that this wasn't going to draw most of its business from Tompkins County. And he told me, well, in fact, they had done this study, and that the study was done by a consultant. Now, I've had some experience with consultants, and I know to be skeptical about a consultant that a developer hires to tell, to give an opinion on what the project is going to do. He assured me that consultant was in fact chosen by the IDA. And then I learned that was not the case. So as far as I'm concerned, from what Martha just said, I'm told that's not the case. So I still am skeptical about this. Now, you know, I'm willing to concede that my skepticism may be wrong, but at the moment I don't really know enough to vote for it at this point.
Thank you, Peter. Eric, why don't you come up to the microphone? And I may need to ask Michael also. So I've got Nathan, Carol, Pam, and then Jim. And I'm going to put myself in there maybe next. Dooley, Mike.
I'm going to save my comments towards the end.
Okay, while I was looking down, I should add Dooley. I'm sorry, Mike and Will, right? And Leslie.
If I could just make one comment about this feasibility study. It's something that we had not prepared going through this entire project. As we started going through, more and more information came out, more and more questions were asked, well, how do we quantify what really happened here? And we've told people about research that was out there. The IDA asked us to go out and have a consultant. They wanted a third-party report on this. It's not something that we put in this project to begin with. It was a effect at the very end. And a third-party consultant who's done a lot, they're out of Chicago, has done a lot of work in upstate New York, was contracted to write this report, and it was delivered to the IDA. And we were forced to pay for it.
Yeah. Okay. Michael, do you want to? Thank you, Eric.
Just a few comments, and my comments are kind of stimulated by the discussion that took place at the Ithaca City School District's Finance Committee meeting yesterday under the full board's meeting today, and they went through this pretty methodically. They asked, could the BJ's be built without the housing component and the wetland component? No, because the village is requiring that. BJ's would gladly build up there without any of this, but the village will not allow that to happen. Can the housing and wetland be built without any of this assistance? And the answer again is no. We've looked at the financials provided by the developer, and a third-party consultant that we choose confirmed and verified all the assumptions in those financials. The third question, is there a benefit to local government? Yes, and to a certain extent, that's verified by just the tax calculations, the property tax calculations, but the sales tax calculations are confirmed by the other Chicago-based third-party consultant. And even if you discount what they say tremendously, it's still a significant amount of money that this community needs. And fourth, and again, these are the simple, basic questions asked by the school district's finance committee, is BJ's paying market rent for their space? And yes, they are. So those are the comments I wanted to make that I think address some of the comments that or questions that Member Stein had.
Okay, about the two separate third-party studies.
Mm-hmm.
The sales tax study was done at the, both were paid, were or will be paid for by BJ's, or by Arrowhead.
By Arrowhead, and that is the IDA's requirement.
Right. The sales tax study was done by somebody that Arrowhead chose, not the IDA, not
no,
the TC80 staff.
That's correct, but we reviewed that study, and we think it's a well-done study, and we have confidence in it. For comfort level purposes, even if you discount what they say by 50%, it's still a significant benefit to the community.
Okay, I was just answering the question that Peter raised.
Yes.
No, I have a point of clarification.
Yeah.
Yeah, the point of clarification is that we did go over in our subcommittee, in our second meeting online, we did a go-to meeting. It was between the developer, Michael Stamm, myself, Dan Kogan, and Larry Baum, and Andrew Sussman, who is the consultant to Eric. And they specifically went over the groups that could do the feasibility study, and we said that this Chicago group was fine. I mean, so that was, by the IDA subcommittee, chosen or sanctioned, I guess, by the subcommittee group. That happened.
Okay. I'm going to go back to the legislators. I just want a clarification on the studies.
Can I ask one follow-up question,
yeah,
just
go ahead,
a quick
Peter.
Question? Suppose that Lansing, the village of Lansing, said that we don't want the we'll do it without the senior housing. Then this whole thing would be taken out of us. We would have nothing to say about it. They would just decide that they want a BJ's there, and it would be built. That'd be fine with me. I just don't like to be in the loop. That's all.
Yeah.
They'd have to change their zoning.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, we did that a lot in the town of Ithaca if you want to have something there.
Okay, let me think. Where was I? Nathan, you were next on the list.
No, I'm going to hold my comments.
Okay, Carol.
Yeah, as I understand this, the question in front of us is not should BJ's come here, and it's not should Eric Getzman develop his land. That's a decision for the developer, and it's the decisions about the location and the village's zoning is a decision for the village. And to me, if we want to implement a senior housing program or a wetland program, we should do, at taxpayer expense, we should do that. And that the proper way to do that would be to create a process, to open up that process to those who want to develop senior housing, to figure out at what income levels we'd like to see that public money enter the market, and to go about it that way. I do appreciate Eric Getzman's, the work that he's put in, that the IDA has put into making this work, that the subcommittee that Nathan referred to, to try to make this work. But it just isn't clear to me that there's enough public benefit to justify us getting involved and playing this role. Tompkins County is not a place on a major highway that's going to become a place that's a regional or a large regional draw for this kind of big box development. And I think we've made a decision as a community that the kind of money we want to put into development is going to capitalize on the kinds of things we excel in,
which is the sort of the high-tech spin-off, which TCAD has worked so hard on. The presenting of our area as with this unique mix of beauty and education and community involvement, and that we've made a decision to target our public dollars to businesses that develop us and that sense of place that we have here in Tompkins County, and not, you know, we haven't created a process for support for this kind of big box development, because that kind of development can be found other places, but what we offer can't be or isn't to the extent that we do. So I don't have anything against big box development coming here, and I shop there for those that are here. And I also, I did, if many of you know that I'm a planner by training, and I did a master's thesis on public-private partnerships and what the public sector can do to be seen as a partner equally deserving of a return on our investment. And one of the techniques that I thought should be used and wrote about was this whole notion of municipalities asking for public concessions, asking for public consideration. There is a cost when big box development comes. We have to provide roads and traffic signals and all kinds of supports. And I think that it is right for the public sector to ask for that. And so I really do applaud the Village of Lansing coming back and saying, okay, you know, this will cost us. We spend money as a village, and what kind of public amenities can we ask this developer to provide? And to come up with, we'd like the developer, in consideration of the fact that it will cost the public money and that we will be spending money as a village, to provide, they picked of the many things they could have asked for, senior housing and wetlands. It does not then follow to me that the developer should turn around to the rest of the taxpayers of the county and say, we've been asked for concessions by this village, and so the rest of the county should come and provide those concessions and pay for those concessions. That's where this argument breaks down to me. The questions I was going to ask had to do with the numbers. I don't think we're quite there yet in understanding what the numbers are. Jay Franklin's memo, I'd like somebody to explain to me, or I was going to ask for somebody to explain to me, does that change to the 4% or 4-point-some-odd% mean that the estimates we've been hearing tonight go up or down over the 20 years? But, you know, developers are right to take advantage of whatever public subsidies are out there. That's how the game is played. That's how you make money. If there are Empire Zone programs or other development incentives, if there are abatements, property tax abatements, it is proper and right to ask for them. The way federal tax policy works is that encourages developers and retail to depreciate their activities over some period of time, which is 5 or 7 or 15 or in some cases longer periods of time. And what happens at the end of that time is usually that you see the structure change. So whatever numbers we're hearing, if you're going to make the decision, make it on what will happen over the next 5 years. So I'll withdraw my question unless other people want to ask them about what happens 20 years from now or over the course of 20 years, because I don't believe that that's what's really operative. We see that, you know, we all have trouble referring to the shops at Ithaca Mall because it was Pyramid Mall, and I assume that has something to do with the way that the tax incentives and other subsidies have played out. So for all of those reasons, a pilot just doesn't make sense to me. If somebody wanted to separate the elements of this into the recovery zone portion of this, or development zone, whatever it's being called this year, it'll be called other things in future years. I'm willing to talk about that, but not the pilots. I can't support that. Thank you for bearing with that, all of those reasons.
Thank you, Carol. Let me just say, the effect of Jay's memo wouldn't have anything to do with the sales tax. It would change the amount of money that that BJ's would change the property taxes that BJ's would pay. And in a sense, it doesn't change the level. I mean, it would change the 50% that on the increment on the housing, but it would be, Michael, I guess it would change the property taxes that come to the taxing jurisdictions after the first 5 years, right?
It's a complex issue, and I think there's more important issues.
Okay.
And if this body does vote to support the project, I think it should do it contingent upon county staff, TCAD staff, clarifying that and negotiating the appropriate number. But
okay, but what the whole thing does say is that the property tax paid over this period of time, this is it. It wouldn't be negotiated. It wouldn't go up. It would be set for the 20 years.
And I'm not sure the process here, but I'm wondering if there's an opportunity for the developer or TCAD to respond to statements that are factually incorrect.
Would you make notes of them? And let's go through this.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I've got Pam, then Jim, then Dooley, Mike, Will, Leslin, and Nathan. And I'm going to jump in after Nathan, I guess. Pam.
Thank you. I am having a problem with this, and I didn't support it in committee, and I don't think I will support it tonight either. Part of the problem that I have with it is that historically the IDA has focused on job creation, helping to grow and build industry that creates good jobs. That has a certain return to the community, to the county, that goes beyond sales tax. That sales tax historically has not been something that the IDA has focused on when it was considering whether to support a project or not. And so I have a real concern about that change without having had any kind of a broader discussion about that. Particularly in relationship to the PIF, I think that the county on some level, it doesn't make any difference if this project is in the city or is outside the city. The county's sales tax revenue will be the same whichever place it is located. So in my mind, I'm not looking at that particular issue. But I am looking at the issue of what percentage of the sales tax is going to be taken from other businesses in the community. And I think that one of the reasons that the IDA very wisely has stayed away from retail businesses is because of the whole factor of competition and who do we support and who do we not support in this, because we are a free enterprise system. And that they should duke it out in the marketplace. Retail businesses should, and that actually makes a lot of sense to me. So for us to be weighing in on this and supporting on some level a retail business, I do not agree with. I think that what the city had done, the difference between what the city does or what has happened with any kind of retail that has been supported in the city is that there are all these other requirements that take place that sort of mitigate the fact that they are being involved in that issue. The other piece in this is the PIF. And I agree with others who have said this, that you know, on some level, you either can't have it both ways. If this is not directly benefiting BJ's, then I think that we shouldn't be, that we don't need this over $2 million that we are putting out there. We are putting out the PIF money for the housing. I mean, that is basically what we are doing. And if our goal is to use this money to increase the broader good by building 12 units of housing in the village of Lansing, I mean, that's certainly a decision that we are faced with right here. And my response to that is that it isn't. We are not going to see a lot of a good public benefit from this. If in fact it's the other way, is that if in fact this $2.3 million or however much it is, if the PIF money is going to benefit BJ's, well then we are going to benefit a retail business at the expense of other retail businesses. So you can't have it both ways here. And in my mind, if you look at I do not think that the sales tax figures are solid. I think that we don't know what percentage of that is going to be money that we've recovered from leakage, or just money that's taken from other businesses in that county. I mean, the fact is that the large percentage of over 50% of their business is with food and which we have a plethora of in Tompkins County. So I am very skeptical of the sales tax figures, and I think that it is not a wise decision on our part to be offering up over $2 million to build 12 units of housing. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Jim.
I just wanted to reiterate what you said, that I really want the developer and Mike Stamm to be able to answer some of these claims that some of my colleagues are making.
All right. You've got corrections? If you want to jump in midstream here. Michael and Eric?
Let's see. There was a statement made that it's unlikely that people will be driving in from outside the region to shop here, and I think it's pretty clear that the report indicates that that isn't the assumption. The assumption is that it'll be capturing leakage from people that reside in Tompkins County that are forced to get in their car and drive to a regional store, and that certainly has a negative environmental impact. There was a comment made about the IDA's mission, not retail. Just recently, the IDA approved incentives for two new grocery stores. One in the one is a renovation in the north side city of Ithaca. The other one's up in the town of Lansing. So the IDA does very selectively, very carefully, deliver incentives to non-high-tech and non-manufacturing projects.
And if I would comment that those were very selective, having to do with food deserts, having to do with specific niches of particular markets that were desired by the local communities, very desired by the local communities, and when retail has been abated or benefited through the density program, they have gone, as Speaker said before, through rigorous questioning and documentation on, you know, the quality of the jobs, the benefits, the environmental issues, many, many criteria. Mm-hmm. So,
So those, you know, in fact, when those two grocery stores were approved, we did say, is this really okay? Are we really going into new ground because of retail? It's retail. Well, there are specific criteria in our policies, which both of those projects met. BJ's doesn't fall into this. Eric?
I just want to raise one issue. It's an overall issue. We keep talking about what happens at BJ's, what they sell. We spent a tremendous amount of time in the IDA subcommittees, the IDA number of meetings we have trying to discuss what BJ's really does to understand. They're a tenant that sell a number of different things. We kept going back and forth. What is the amount they sell? What products they sell? Are they taxable? Yes, they sell grocery products. But a lot of the products that they sell, whether it's plates or water or Gatorade or soda or candy, is all taxable items. So we came to this point, what are the sales that a BJ's really does? And nobody could quantify it. What percent is taxable? Nobody could quantify it. And it came to the point, and I was urged by the idea, Eric, if you want this to move forward, we've got to understand what this really means. And we then talked about bringing a third party in. I was reluctant to do it. I was asked numerous times because it's a tremendous amount of cost. Inherently, I knew it was there. And we finally elected to do it. When the report came back, this company is a company that all major retailers.
Eric, I'm sorry, excuse me. You said you had corrections to, factual corrections to make.
Well, yeah. We're talking about the number of sales and some of the other issues. I was trying to get the overall statement, Martha. I guess if directly to one point, then I'll direct one thing. We just talked about the housing, the cost. The PIF here is not associated with just housing cost. The PIF is associated with the product. We have a commercial piece of property, which we're trying to fit into the comprehensive plan that takes commercial high traffic, low traffic, and residential, combines them together. And in doing so, we're building residential housing on commercial property. No different than if you knock down one of your office buildings here in the city and put a single house on it. Economically, it's not feasible. Is it the right thing? Is it part of the comprehensive plan? It's what the Village of Lansing has written in their policy. It was like to do. So we're trying to work with that. So that's where the cost comes, is from the inherent cost of the land and the process associated with taking commercial land and turning to residential property.
Thank you. Dooley?
Thank you. Jim, first, is Resolution Z identical to Resolution T except for the two lines that you changed? I just couldn't make myself do a line-by-line comparison.
Well, maybe you can tell me. I don't know.
Yeah, they are.
And they are? Oh, thank you.
Okay. It was only today, after I was able to sit down with developers' representatives, also at their request and the Lansing mayor's suggestion, that I got to work and discovered there were more documents about this project that had not been distributed to us earlier. I've been trying to look at some of them while we're having this discussion. I do not feel I have read them and done them justice. So I feel handicapped in that regard. I share a curiosity of the sort Carol mentioned. How would Jay's analysis affect some of the contents of one of those documents? But that's really not what I'm most concerned about. I also assume we have somewhere the minutes of the hearing. I attended the hearing at the Village of Lansing, but I have not seen the minutes, and I don't know if my colleagues have looked at them to get a sense of what was said there. Heather Filiberto, who was running that meeting, indicated that she'd never been at one of these hearings where there were more than three people, and there were quite a few people there to comment that night and ask questions. So to me, money is fungible. If you're giving money to help what would be a really reasonable development for the Village of Lansing go forward, to help make it possible to include the housing and changing a mediocre man-made wetland into something that would be prettier and have a bird sanctuary component, that's nice, but that money is what makes the project possible in Lansing, because the Village of Lansing has been very strict about complying with its master plan, changing its low-traffic, commercially zoned land into something else, and that's this PDA that the village passed. So it's all of a piece, and the IDA's supporting this and calling it, it's for the residential component, doesn't mean anything to me. It's what makes the project as a whole possible. I'm very troubled that there does not seem to have been any prior discussion or policy decisions or clear process developed at TCAD before it's offering to do its first, I think it's its first PIF. And although I understand the IDA's actions on the two neighborhood style grocery stores that they have recently supported, this does not feel the same at all to me. I would very much like to see this happen for the village of Lansing's sake. It solves a major problem with low traffic commercial property and a way to step down from the shops at Ithaca Mall, which I still call Pyramid, to residential areas. But because of my concern about the precedent that this seems to be setting, which to me is different from what happened with the grocery stores, I am not inclined to support it tonight. I would be happy for us to put off this vote so we could actually get the updated documents, because that might affect some other votes, even if it wouldn't affect mine. And I think we're not doing justice to consideration because of that.
Thank you, Julie. I have Mike, then Will, Leslin, Nathan, Frank, and me.
I care a lot about economic development in Tompkins County. I was a mayor, too, for a while, and I know how villages work. I know how hard they struggle to get activity there. I know my initial reaction to this proposal was negative because I saw it as a leverage by the village of Lansing to obtain senior housing at the expense of everyone in the county. And that's what's going to happen here. Then I began looking at what we would be giving up if we didn't accede to that. Yes, we have a principal that said, well, we don't really like that very much, but we'd be giving up sales tax revenues here and also giving up the opportunity to use the bonding, which will go away, that we have here, and we don't have another project to put in that might be able to use that bonding before the authority goes away, as I understand it. I don't agree that the city of Ithaca simply is concerned about process here. I wouldn't have received a packet from Benderson by overnight mail today if that was the case. If they weren't worried about this and didn't want the opportunity to get it in the city, just as I got a packet from Arrowhead a few days ago, because they want it to be in Lansing. And I don't think that means that they don't think they're going to have sales in the city of Ithaca. I don't think they'd be here tonight if they didn't think that this, if it was built in the city of Ithaca, wouldn't generate sales tax, which they get to keep down there and not share with the towns and villages. I was on the IDA. I chaired the IDA shortly after the density policy came into effect. And the reason that got a sympathetic vote in the legislature was because the city was hurting. Population was not keeping up with, this is around 2000, population was not keeping up with the outlying areas in the towns, for example. Downtown was having trouble getting anything going down there. And the city came to the legislature and we looked at it and we said, okay, this is a change in our policy. It's going to provide for commercial growth, but we need to do it for a while. And we saw an office and hotel complex. We saw a major high-scale apartment building put up. We've seen Cuba Green and some other places put up. In my view, the density policy served that good purpose. The Ithaca has turned around. It's changed its own economic well-being through the development of the Southwest. Now who's hurting are the people in the outer areas, in the towns and villages, which haven't had any help. And some of that help can come from sales tax. And so I think the amount of sales tax that would be generated here is an important thing, and how the split happens is important. I represent three municipalities, the town of Dryden, the village of Freeville, and the village of Dryden, all of which depend on sales tax revenues, particularly the village of Dryden, which has to support a police department. And I think it's important that we try to do what we can to stimulate those sales tax revenues. We talk about leakage. I think it's more like a giant sucking sound, because that leakage is going to surrounding counties. And just take a look 3 miles from the border of Tompkins County on Route 13 and see what's going on over there. That's where the Borg Warner plant went, instead of in Tompkins County. That's where that's the area where Cuga Press pulled out of Tompkins County and went to. There's going to be an industrial development area set up. They're already setting a set of traffic lights in the middle of cow fields out there, because they know what's going to happen in that area. And we don't do that. And Carol, I know this project, but we're behind. We're behind in what we spend for economic development in Tompkins County, and what we should be spending, and we've been hurting because of that. So this is just one example, and I think we ought to support this because it will help the outlying areas.
Will.
Well, I represent the town of Ithaca, so, Mike, I was listening to your argument and realizing, of course, if I only thought about the interests of the town of Ithaca and the sales tax, it certainly would be advantageous by the current system to place it outside the city. But I also wear a hat as a county legislator. I am one of our representatives to the IDA, and I have been struggling for many, many months to understand what this project truly was. Starting with, I remember the day when Michael came and introduced this concept called a KIF. You know, it's taken me months to begin to sense what it truly is. early on in the process, by the way, we were told that there was this opportunity to do a plan development zone that would involve a large retailer that would be unlike anything currently available, but we were not initially privileged to know which retailer was being talked. That changed over a period of weeks or whatever, but this was originally presented as just this unique opportunity. Well, it's a buying club. We don't have one right now. There's clearly a market for a buying club. There are people in this room who probably drive out of town to go to buying clubs. So we know that there is a desire for that kind of thing in Ithaca. We are presented with an opportunity to site one there with several million dollars worth of tax diversion. If we fail to do, and the prime argument I've heard tonight is the huge potential sales tax gain. Once again, better for the towns if it's there, better for the city if it's elsewhere. What I don't think we really know, because none of us truly can know, is if we turn down it there, is it gone forever, or will it or something else happen in some reasonable like the time? And I guess intuitively I feel that given the nature of the Ithaca's economy, that something like that will be built relatively soon, because I think the market wants for something like that to be. Where I have a problem, and, you know, putting on my IDA hat, is
if we're going to help a project like that, what criteria are we using? And because the PIF was a new instrument, we really hadn't addressed that. We hadn't thought through, okay, what might be the circumstances. What we do have is existing criteria for commercial projects. As has been pointed out by others, we typically only, you know, historically have supported industrial, high-tech, and in the city, density-related projects. But the more general commercial criteria, we want to consider retail commercial projects under the following conditions. One, the project is a critical part of a larger planned development. Well, that certainly would seem to be the case here. Two, the project must be endorsed through formal resolution by appropriate municipal governing body. We've heard that it's been endorsed by the Village of Lansing. All the taxing jurisdictions also have to weigh in on that, and that's why we're having this conversation tonight. In addition to these local policies, New York State prohibits retail projects instead unless some of the following conditions are met. The project, one, is considered a tourism destination facility. Well, I suppose there will be some people who come to Ithaca, and you know, I suppose commercial tourism exists, but I think that that's a stretch to really define it that way. Two, is operated by a not-for-profit corporation. Clearly not the case. Three, will locate outside the state without the IDA assistance. Well, I don't think, I mean, there are already many in the state. I don't think we're in danger of this particular store going out of state, but four, is located in a highly distressed area. Not true. Five, makes available goods or services not reasonably accessible. Once again, what we've heard over and over again is it's the same mix of goods that you can buy in a variety of other stores, fewer selection, cheaper prices, but same kinds of goods. The last criteria is preserves or increases permanent jobs. And I've heard various estimates. I mean, we have the construction jobs, and we have the permanent jobs, which would be, I've heard, roughly 70. So that, of all those criteria, is the only one that truly matches. What we on the IDA have never really addressed is what are the quality of those jobs? You know, are they the kind of jobs that any of us would really want to have? Entry level, maybe. But can one support oneself or a family locally? Are there any benefits? We don't know. And that's maybe an irrelevant question because we're not really focusing on this particular retailer, but it's highly relevant when we think about what criteria might be very sensible. And we think about the kinds of questions we have asked over and over on similar projects in the city. So I wish, like Dooley, that we had more information. I wish that we had had a longer discussion. There are many things that I still am unclear, and I will continue to think about this as we go forward. As things are scheduled, we will be having a vote on this by the IDA next Monday morning. So things could change, but as of now, I will be voting against this.
Thank you, Will. Michael?
Just a clarification, our bond counsel, who is the one working on this project, as opposed to our local counsel, advises us that it's his opinion that we don't have to meet the state's retail restriction requirements because there are no incentives going to the retail component of this project.
Strictly speaking, understood.
I guess something I've been thinking but I failed to say is that I would feel a whole lot more comfortable doing this if, as a body, the IDA had really considered what criteria we would want to be used in considering a PIF. Here we're taking a project and using, you know, perceived benefits, but we are also setting a huge precedent, and that's of enormous concern.
I have Leslin, Nathan, Frank, me, and more. Okay, Leslin.
Thank you, Jim. I didn't go through the whole list. Yeah. A lot of your top 10 list comments earlier because they mirrored some of what I wanted to say. And it's unfortunate that we're sitting here and just listening to you while thinking about what we wish we had or didn't have. We don't have them. and we have a project before us, and we don't have those things in place. So we essentially have to take a stand based on what we have. So the other things are not in place necessarily. You know, Peter, you were talking about, you know, not knowing. And, yes, there are people in this room, and I wanted to say that, you know, case in point, here I am. I'm one of them leakage people. And I can probably speak for a number of other daycare providers who pack up in our vans and leave this county because what we need and need in bulk, we can't find here necessarily. And come back with van loads, you know. I'd rent a vehicle, actually, to leave this county to do that. So I know that there is money, and lots of it, that's going out of this county for that reason, especially, I would say, for daycare providers, because they want to get things in bulk. it's much cheaper that way. I started out with this, reading this and being very non-committal about where I was going, which is not me. I'm not a waffler. I'm not sure. I make a stance and that's it. And Will asked me earlier, where do I think I'm going with this? And I still couldn't quite nail down where, you know, where my vote will be. Because I thought when I read this, like someone was trying to pull the wool over my eyes a little bit. One thing cannot happen without the other. So these things are connected. They are connected regardless of how we try to slice and dice them. However, we do know that the tax incentive in this bonding issue has to do with the housing portion of this and not with the other part of it, but they are connected. If we do not do this, the other one wouldn't happen, all of those other things anyhow. So given some of what Jim said, and I want to reiterate everything, those were some of my comments, I began to feel like this is something that I actually can support. I still have my own concerns, and that's based on not having some of those criteria you're talking about, but they're not there. So I'm not going to hold up this project or my vote because of something that's not here. Do we set precedents on things all the time? Hell yes, we do, all the time. So this is not, you know, like we're doing something completely out of the box. We do often, and oftentimes we talk to each other about why we're doing this. It's not something we've done before. So here is something new, and it may be the time that we began as an IDA to look at some of that criteria. I hear the argument about the other retail things that were supported. It's not the same thing. Retail is retail. Specialized, non-specialized. Retail is retail. We've supported retail, and people can make an argument for that. They're not apples and oranges necessarily. They're doing the same thing. One, a bigger, more commercial place. So, you know, just thinking through some of those things, I feel that this is something that we should support and hope that we can, even if I take this from my own personal perspective of the amount of money I see when I go to Sam's Club, from Ithaca, from Tompkins County, of people who are shopping there. I know I would stay local. I only hope, as with anything else, if this does pass, having heard a consultant earlier, that we will consider, and yes, Jane, entry level is good, but I hope that there will be consideration for making sure that the workers, whether it's the construction workers that pay prevailing wages, and that we are hiring local, that we're making sure that Tompkins County residents are being taken care of in terms of those jobs that the housing units will provide, the construction will provide, as well as the retail will provide, because they're all part and parcel. I hope that we will also be considering, as part of your work, making sure that we have a very diverse workforce in all of it, local labor, etc. So those are my comments.
Thank you, Leslin. Nathan?
In addition to everything else Jim said.
All right, thank you. I usually get slightly annoyed when this happens, but I'm going to be the culprit tonight. I'm going to repeat things that people have said. But the reason why is because I've had a lot of calls from my constituents, and I loosely call my constituents just about everybody from the county. and so being an IDA member especially, I've gotten a lot of heat on this issue. So I'm going to read my prepared comments, and I'm also going to submit this to you, Kathy, for the record. So I've been involved with this project for many months now as an Industrial Development Agency member and as a member of the subcommittee with Larry Baum and Dan Kogan that negotiated with the developer to bring the agreement that we have tonight. We also reviewed the choice of the consultant for a third party as well. I mean, the choice for the third party consultant. I started out opposed to this project. If you actually look in my recorded comments in the IDA meeting in September, you'll see exactly how I felt at that time. Since then, I've spent dozens of hours learning about this project, and I do support it now. Now, first, I think we can argue endlessly and Monday morning quarterback about after each report or new opinion. But the fact is that this project is not a subsidy for a big box store. It's not. They will pay market rents. They'll pay their property taxes. Their sales taxes will go to the coffers of the county and municipalities. The only difference is that a declining, by the way, that's a key point. We haven't been talking about this a lot. This PIF is a declining PIF. That means the money goes, eventually the property tax dollars go back fully to the county over a 20-year period. A declining PIF will be used to help finance senior housing and a restoration of wetlands, a specific request of Lansing that is part of their comprehensive plan. The senior housing also specifically creates a buffer zone between commercial development and residential neighborhoods, which is a great benefit for the people of Lansing. Now, people say this PIF will open the floodgates, you know, set precedent. And I'd be surprised, though, if there's another PIF that could fulfill a town's comprehensive plan like this one. And even if there were, is fulfilling a town's comprehensive plan such a bad thing? PIFs are a tool used by many places, like Baltimore and Pittsburgh, to drive property tax dollars to finance specifically what the community wants. Compared to the original proposal, I and other members of the subcommittee spent many meetings and more than a dozen hours negotiating a PIF that declines over a 20-year period so that the property taxes will phase out of supporting the senior housing and wetlands and go back into the county and municipality funds. Now, this is a key change that made my support for this project possible. It did not exist in the agreement originally. With Jay's change that the developer approved, this means that with the declining PIF, it simply means that there will be more dollars in property taxes, not sales taxes, but property taxes. This project provides us with a striking amount of sales tax dollars. We've all talked about that tonight. And even if we assume only 55% of BJ sales are taxable, which I frankly believe is a low number based off of the BJ's that's near my parents' store, which, by the way, they shop at all the time, my parents' house. Estimates show that we will gain $420,000 for the county and $327,000 for municipalities and villages if you just use that conservative 55% estimate. And $420,000 is $40,000 more than 1% of the county's tax levy. All right? With about $380,000 this year, we were able to restore, as Jim said, youth services programs in municipalities, alternative to incarceration programs, and critical programs for foster children. With a tax cap looming on the horizon, how can we give up $420,000 when we are already starving our critical social and human services? And this reminds me of Washington, what I've been hearing tonight. You know, we can't be like the leaders in Washington, both the old ones and the newly elected ones that just sit on their hands because they're crippled when making decisions because they want everything. They want to cut the deficit, preserve all popular programs, and keep taxes for the rich. But any American knows you can't have it both ways. You can't have that both ways. But, you know, they believe that they can. We at the local level need to be leaders when they aren't. And being a leader means making complicated but educated choices. We can't keep our human services while rejecting needed sources of revenue. I understand the choice is not perfect, but tonight let's support the resolution. This resolution that shows that we're leaders. Let's show them that we're better than the politicians who choose to please everyone by doing absolutely nothing. Let's show our residents that we are strong enough to make the choice that defends human services and fights against the relentless onslaught of property taxes. And so let's support this resolution today.
Give them
Thank you.
Gene, how do you really feel?
I think we should buy him a soapbox for Christmas.
Sorry. Frank. Then Mike, then me, Carol, Brian, Pat, Pam, and Dooley.
How the heck do you follow that?
You stand up, Frank.
You stand
carefully,
up.
Frank.
That what it is. Nathan, that was great. Whether anyone agrees or not, it was great.
No offense, anybody.
No, no. I want just to go down some of the comments that I heard tonight and some of the clarification just to make sure I understand this. The fact that we're talking about this, you know, we are still one big community. We're a county with a city, six villages, nine towns. What I was thinking about as we were talking and listening to different people talk about the sales tax, regardless of where this project goes, assuming it goes where the developer and the village would like it to go, the city still benefits by that, because if the sales tax goes to the county, it means that we all share in a lower property tax. And the last time I checked, the city was also paying property taxes at the same rate the rest of us are. And it could mean that that rate could go down. I think we've heard that indirectly from a number of people. I'm a little sad. I just want to reiterate Martha's offer and something Dooley mentioned. I wasn't aware that those two reports, I'm sorry, they were, you know me and the computer, and I wasn't near mine this afternoon, so I haven't had a chance to review those, but I appreciate the fact that you sent them around, and we'll still have a chance to review them. I want to go back to a comment that Mayor Hartel made, or at least an understanding. The village vote, all three taxing districts have to support this in order for it to go anywhere. Doesn't mean.
Let me correct that. The IDA has to support it for it to go anywhere, but the county has to support the zone, the bonds. No other taxing jurisdiction has to look at the has
bond.
Any authority about the bonds, and the IDA can't do the bonds without the county saying yes. And they could be separated. The PIF, the whatever mix of jurisdictions says yes to this, their taxes will be diverted to support the housing and the wetland. But if the county's taxes, if the county voted no, for example, but the school district said yes, the school district taxes would go through this process. The county's would just be paid in full to the county. Right, Michael?
Theoretically, that's correct, but you have to consider the financial impact of the project if the county didn't buy into the program.
And well, the developer said he can't do the project without all of it.
Right.
So that's correct. his statement. Okay.
Okay. So just picking up from there, assuming the village has approved it. My understanding is, from what was said earlier tonight, the ICSD Finance Committee was predisposed to supporting it. Does anybody know how the school district vote went tonight?
I was told that they will probably vote, probably not vote, probably wait until after we vote.
Tonight?
Yes.
Okay, but the Finance Committee seemed to be supportive of it, is what we were told.
There are only two members of the Finance Committee.
The Finance Mike, do you know what happened last night?
I was at that meeting. There were five school board members there. And again, I'm never wanting to predict what any elected official will do, but four of them were supportive of it at that meeting.
Okay. I'm just making general. I'm trying to just get a sense, okay, not to split hairs. So at least we know a general direction, or we can surmise based on, as Leslin has already said, and I'm glad she did, that the attitude is we have to deal with the information as we have it right now.
Leslin, you okay?
Are you all right,
Leslin? I'm fine. Jim was asking for a new something. What were you
asking? Do we have chairs in the budget for next year?
New chairs.
We need new chairs.
Okay.
Well, maybe we can get it with the sales tax.
BJ's
chairs. You lost the wheel, Carol.
BJ's has a fine selection of chairs.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God.
They are taxable, too.
This is the break we didn't have yet, so.
I'm not done. Enjoy. Okay, this is the timeout. Just, right. You know.
Trust me to always call a break.
It's all right. It's all right. I'll all keep right. talking. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Frank.
You can keep monkeying do with the chairs. I want to go back to a couple of things Carol said, because if I understood the developer correctly and something the mayor, Mayor Peterson described, the city has put in some tax money through infrastructure in order to help develop the south end, streets, light, whatever they did. And what I understood up at the project up in the village, there will be a need for minimal improvements on what's already there, because the roadway going into the north end of Pyramid, which is where the side of Target is and the other side of the Y is, that will be the access road, and there's parking already there, although some parking may have to take place. So there's a minimal amount of infrastructure that may have to be done. Is that relatively accurate? Okay. Carol's comment about public housing and senior citizens housing, I've sat on a number of committees through the planning committee that Pam now chairs, but going back to when Martha actually chaired it and a couple of others around this table. We've helped finance HUD-related projects. I saw Nels here, and he may not be here right now, but we've helped finance and worked with HUD projects. Caroline has a senior citizens project. Heck, there's a couple in Dryden, there's a couple in Newfield, there's several in Trumansburg. They're senior citizens projects that are financed with public money. Some of them redirected from CDRC grants. Do you want me to move? I don't want to stand. Will, is that in your job description? So I think we have a history as a county of supporting projects. I don't want
Excuse
to bring
me,
up...
I think those have income requirements, income limitations.
Well, nonetheless, they probably do, certainly on the individuals that might be living there. But that might be offset by some of the other concerns we've had. But my concern right now is to make sure that we at least give this thing a fair review, at this project a fair review. I've got to put my history hat on for a second because of the precedent-setting items that have been mentioned tonight, and Leslin reminded me of it, and it goes back to something Mayor Peterson said. This type of project has not, and I've heard several of you mention it tonight too, we've never done one of these before. And Leslin, I think, said it the best. Well, we have a history for being pace setters in this county. I want to, and Michael will remember this, sadly, probably. Do any of you remember a project called Lake Source Cooling?
To the point, Frank.
Excuse me. I'm getting there. I've had to endure some other speeches tonight. You can do it with me.
I understand.
All right. The Lake Source Cooling, when it came up for a vote, yours truly was the holdout on the IDA, because the criteria, as I understood it at that time, indicated that we had a requirement for providing permanent jobs. Any project had to provide for permanent jobs. Once the last construction trailer left the site in those days, you had to leave X number of jobs behind, warranted by the amount of money that was being asked for. You know the number of jobs that were left behind? Zero on Lake Source Cooling, because the one job that they were creating, or theoretically creating, was a transfer from the chill water plant up at Cornell down to the new plant. So I voted against it. Well, what happened? And this goes back to something Mayor Peterson said, and I'm glad that Philly is still here because I don't think any other city people representing the city are here. The question was asked, and the mayor asked it earlier this evening, could we postpone this until some look could be done to develop a new procedure? Well, what happened with Lake Source Cooling? IDA approved it, and then they went back and reviewed the procedure and changed it because we had to make sure we could accommodate those needs for those jobs. And if there was anything that was accomplished out of my being a recalcitrant legislator at that time, it was that. So we do have, as Leslin said, we have a history for being pace setters. There's no harm in approving this project because the whole county is going to benefit, even the city. We've all been inundated, and I got the same envelope, Mike, but I've had two others from Benderson, and I've had conversations with Eric and several others about the project. People want this to go forward. Some people would rather not see it go forward. I'm going to support this tonight because I think it ought to go to the IDA, and we ought to get the support of the IDA behind it. We've heard from individuals in the community tonight. The woman who was here that lives in the city, that's the realtor, that's shopping in Binghamton, I think she said. Isn't that leakage? Yeah. So I would encourage you at least to support this so that we can get it to the IDA on Monday, the 13th. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm going to go then Carol, Brian, Pat, Pam, and Dooley, and maybe we'll be ready to vote. I said I'm going for it.
Well, you were going to go
Hanson. And I put my thoughts down on paper on this. We've been talking about this at the IDA for months. And so I've gone back and forth. The rationale for a PIF requires that there be a public benefit that warrants the diversion of property taxes from the taxing jurisdictions. In some places, I mean, for example, I think it's Ontario County, they did a big PIF and got the taxes diverted to create broadband, broadband throughout the county. So something that, you know, big deal. In this case, the public benefit is 12 units of market rate senior housing. I've spent my legislative career advocating for affordable housing in Tompkins County, so I think I understand a little about the public investments needed to make housing affordable. Under this PIF, the loss to the taxing jurisdictions is a net present value of $1.7 million over 20 years. And again, that was before this is recalculated, give or take, whatever it is. That is a subsidy of $141,666 per unit for apartments that aren't even affordable. If we are to believe that the housing is the purpose of this project, that equation simply doesn't make sense. Therefore, we must acknowledge that the real reason for the taxing jurisdictions to agree to this project are the sales tax benefits we are promised. According to BJ's most recent 10K form, food accounted for approximately 65% of merchandise sales in 2009. Even discounting this number down to 45% and assuming some diversion of sales from existing businesses in Tompkins County, the annual revenue to Tompkins County would be approximately $420,000, according to David Squires. So a little over 1% on our levy. Compared to the property taxes we would be giving up, I believe that is not a good deal. With my IDA hat on, the IDA has prided itself on not doing retail, and I don't believe this project warrants our changing that policy. In the case of downtown density projects, which do include retail, those projects were evaluated stringently on many criteria, including the quality of jobs created, environmental standards, whether there was local hiring, whether there was a diversity plan, and many other community benefits. We have asked about BJ's wages and benefits and the construction jobs involved, but have been told those aren't relevant. We have not been given the answers. There's no promise. There's not even a projection that we will get a promise of that. This is a black box. This is not to be considered, we've been told. The big box developments throughout the county have found a market here, and I believe BJ's has good reasons to join the existing mix. The county would see approximately the same sales tax wherever the store goes, so my vote is not about choosing one municipality over the other. Let me also say that the Village of Lansing is entitled to its desire to create the wetlands and housing. If I were the village, I might do the same. However, I have to decide based on the county's interests. I could only vote for this PIF if the public purpose were highly desirable and not achievable in any other way. Obviously, housing is desirable, but the market is quite capable of providing market-rate housing. That's why it's called market-rate housing. Our own housing needs analysis proved that. The sales tax revenues, of course, are desirable, but I'm not convinced that this PIF is necessary to bring the retailer to this community. Now, I don't have an ideological feeling about this. I would support the recovery zone bonds to go to the project because that money, there's no other project in line for that. They would expire at the end of the year. And even if we did put off this our vote on the PIF, I believe we would have to vote on the bonds tonight for the timing to work out. Anyway, in short, I don't want the taxpayers to have to close the gap for the private developer when the market is already providing or could provide the benefits without taxpayer sacrifice. I've been on the IDA for 4 years, and this will be my first no vote on a project. So I don't think that constitutes being anti-development, if that's what anybody would consider. This is a really difficult decision for all of us. I appreciate everybody's patience with each other's long speeches and with the hour, but it really is important, and so I appreciate your consideration. So Carol, Brian, Pat, Pam, and Dory.
There is one factor that we haven't talked about at all, and that is some of the points raised by the City of Ithaca and that were in this packet that we all received by UPS, and that is the costs of a potential legal battle if we are can arguably be seen. I mean, whether we'd win or not in the end, this action is being discussed as potentially was it arbitrary and capricious. We on the floor here have talked about the fact that we really hadn't set up a good process for determining whether retail fits. But I also, and so while I would personally be, probably this wouldn't be the first project I would have chosen to support, I don't think that we're in general disagreement. I think we would have more votes and it's sort of an unquestioning vote, maybe not unanimous, to vote for the portions of sort of the A and B portions of the title of this. So I would actually like to move to separate the portions of this project that are devoted to the recovery zone and the bond allocation from the PIF portion. And if that's acceptable to the chair, I would talk about how to do that, what lines would be.
Well, we don't have to worry about wordsmithing. I've been assured by the bond council that they can make the separation happen.
Okay, and that does, and then once we separate it, we could then decide whether to proceed with the vote. I would suggest proceeding with the vote on the recovery zone bond portion, and then we could decide whether to proceed with the vote potentially failing on the pilot portion or do what we would normally do, which is to sort of hear the results of the IDA, which we normally would have before we weigh in on whether we believe the pilot
okay,
is
so that's a motion to separate.
Yes.
With A and B being the the parts related to the bonds, is there a second? Will seconds that. Discussion on the motion to separate. Michael?
The while they can technically be separated, approving the bonds without approving the PIF will not allow the project to move forward, because the proceeds of the PIF are what pay the debt service on the bonds, partially.
That's up to the developer. I mean, I think in the discussions that I've had with people and at the IDA, I think we can decide to approve what we want, and the developer can do what he wants. I have Mike Lane next. Yeah, Mike?
Yeah, I just was thinking the same thing, that it seems to me if we separate this and pick and choose, that then we're just killing the whole project.
Eric?
The person who introduced the PIF to us, Andrew, is not here this evening. But in one of our meetings we had, he explained the recovery bonds and the PIF is like a cake, in that the recovery bonds are what wrap the cake. It's something that gives the project a different exemption. And without the cake, you can't put the icing on it. And without the PIF, you have nothing to wrap.
Will and Carol?
And I appreciate that. The reason I would support separation is just the timing. We have to get the recovery. We have to literally approve this and get this in motion. We, I understand, are not under the same constraints in terms of approval of the PIF. And so if I'm wrong on that, please explain. But I understand
that you can't sell the bonds. You can't sell the bonds without the PIF.
Correct.
It's the recovery is what wraps around the bonds.
Right, right.
Then the PIF is what pays for the bonds. Without the PIF, there is nothing to wrap.
Well, the IDA votes on is going to discuss this on Monday morning. The school district hasn't voted yet. I don't know where the town stands. We were told that, the reality is you could go ahead and do the whole thing with any one or all of the taxing jurisdictions being part of this. It's your decision whether you believe the money works, but our choice is whether to do one or both. So I think the choice before us, your advice on it is you won't be able to do the project unless you have both. Our choice now is whether we decide we want to separate the two and have a separate vote. So we've heard
the thing. It's a recovery, the recovery bonds, to try and sell those on the time frame that we have. You have to have something that they wrap around. And if the PIF is not approved, there's nothing that wraps, and so therefore you can't generate recovery bonds.
But the county could approve the bonds, and let's say the school district approved the rest of the PIF, but we didn't. I mean, those are all flavors that could happen, we were told. So we could go ahead and approve the bonds, and even if we later or never approved the PIF, that's our choice. So it's up to us to vote now. I think I had Will and then Carol and Pat. Carol?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say I believe that if we separated, it would be the bonds would then be usable if you decide to figure out a way to make that work, and or the town of the village of Lansing works with you further on making that work. But that is not our decision to make. Our decision is whether the taxpayers of Tompkins County as a whole should be that we should be asking them to come up with the money to make this project work for you. And so separating would it allow us to move forward on the decision to allow the bonds to continue, give you the choice, and then depending on whether we have voted on the separated portion tonight or not, would allow you to either come back to us with something else and or decide to make it work without that portion of the project.
Okay, so
that's what I suggest that we do, because that's the thing that we seem to have some agreement on rather than the pilot portion.
I have Pat, then Peter, then Mike Lane. Pat?
I sense that this motion to separate,
is that it is primarily a parliamentary maneuver by those of you who are opposed to the PIF. And I think, and I could be wrong, but I think that the underlying thinking here, because I've heard this stated by several people in other conversations, who believe that if we do not grant the PIF and we do not support it, the IDA does not support it, the project is not going to go away, that the developer is, in fact, going to find a way to do this because they have committed so much and have so much involved in the project and so on and so forth. And in fact, we can turn this down, and the only thing that will happen is that the developer will more or less shrug his shoulders and say, oh, well, I tried, and come back with the project. And I believe that just as strongly as those of you who have said to me that you believe that the project will go forward without this. So I think to move to separate, I think it's disingenuous to go ahead to vote on this in the sort of this sort of air of innocence that it has been described here. I too agree that if we vote to separate, we're voting to kill the project.
I asked this question of Russ Genzel, of Michael, and could we separate? Yes, we could separate.
It's not what
I said. I hear you. Okay, Michael.
And again, just to clarify, technically, legally, you can separate them and vote on them separately tonight. And I assume that's what you're going to do, and that would be the desire of the applicant. If you're thinking of just voting on the bond tonight and delaying the vote on the PIF to a future time, that won't work. But if you're going to vote on both tonight but separate, I think that would be fine from the developer's perspective, that's what the intent is.
All right, thank you. We got Peter, Mike, then Will.
I withdraw my hand.
Mike, and then Will and Dave.
Madam Chair, it's almost 9 o'clock, and I would like to call a question. I think it's time we voted on all this.
Is there a second to call a question? Jim seconds that. The question is, all right, should we end debate on the motion to separate? Please raise your hand if you're prepared to end debate on the motion to separate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed? 1, 2. Okay, we are now at the motion to separate. The motion is, should we consider these separately?
These being
the bonds from the PIF. A and B in the title, we could come back with the language to show you what's been done, but that would take a little time. So the motion is just to separate. Okay. Any question about that? All in favor of separating the two sections of the project? Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Is that right?
Yes.
9? 5 to 9? Okay. That fails. So we're back to the main motion, and I had Brian and Pat and Pam and Dooley, and I'm not sure if, and Dave, you were going to talk about the most of the, I'll put Dave back on the list and Peter.
You can take me off.
Okay. Brian.
Thanks, Martha. I feel as though I should chime in just a little bit for my constituents. I want to thank you. I learned a new term tonight, food desert. I never heard of that before. I think I live in one. Groton is a unique place. I can tell you that leakage is happening. It does happen. Everyone that I know works in Ithaca and shops in Cortland. Groceries, the new Walmart, you name it. If those things, and I couldn't tell you what sort of percentage, but if those things were together in a place like BJ's, would they stop? I'm sure some would. So leakage does happen. I mean, for those people that are smart enough to figure that out, you know, God bless them, because I don't know how they would do it, but it does exist to one degree or another. I mean, we all know people that go to Syracuse. My wife and I just went to Syracuse Sunday to, not to BJ's, but to Sam's. And, you know, it happens. We all know it happens. So would there be a benefit to this for us individually? Sure. It's difficult for me to see the difference between, it was mentioned earlier, business coming in and tax dollars being spent on infrastructure improvements and things like abatements and PIFs, which I didn't even know what that was till a couple of days ago. So, you know, to me, I would think it's a normal part of negotiation of some sort to do what you can do to entice business into your community, whether it's retail or construction or what it is, and sometimes you have to do things. Arrowhead's said that they wanted to just come in and just build a store, and I guess I want to congratulate those folks in the village of Lansing that were able to negotiate something different. You know, they have senior housing. I heard what you said about, you know, the cost per unit and so forth, and I understand that. And you're right. Is this kind of a shell game, hidden money sort of thing? Probably, to some extent. There's also senior housing. I don't know of any senior housing that was ever built without some sort of taxpayer assistance, whether it's federal grants or what. So, you know, that kind of does fit. The things that strike me are, you know, we're talking about an increase in sales tax revenue, whether it comes to us directly, whether it goes to the city, where it goes, or what the number is. You know, that also is kind of a guessing game. But it's real. We know that it's something, whatever that is. And in these times, that certainly would be useful. Jobs, you know, Will mentioned none of us are going to work there. Yeah, probably not. But somebody will. They just built that Super Walmart in Cortland, and they had hundreds upon hundreds of applicants. So somebody will work there. Somebody will benefit from it. Arrowheads, I guess, has stated that if they don't build it there, they're not going to build in the city, or they're not going to build anywhere. I mean, who knows? Who really knows? Do we want to play a game of chicken? Maybe. I don't know. Those are just some of the things that have kind of struck me as I listened to this conversation. And I'm on the fence, but I'm leaning more towards in favor of this project, for sure.
Thank you, Brian. Pat, and Pam, if you wanted to, I'll put you back, and then Julie and Dave.
In the hour and the amount of discussion that we've had, I'd like to call the question.
There are a couple of people who haven't spoken yet at all. All right.
Okay, then I'll withdraw that.
You're not born yet.
I will just pass. I was going to say something else, but I'll just pass.
All right. Thank you, Pat. So, Pam?
Well, I just want to point out, you know, that we're talking about the sales tax revenue come in. I mean, we are losing property tax. We're paying, I mean, we aren't, it's not an abatement in this usual term, but we are losing property tax. We're paying their debt. So we are, it's not as if this is a clear-cut increase in revenue for the county for all of the jurisdictions. So, I mean, I hope people understand that there's money going out here, too. And it, so that we are clear. I also just wanted to reemphasize Martha's point about the fact that because of the way that this is being arranged, that we have a developer who is applying for, has gone to the IDA and applied for money. They have, and the retailer is the one who is going to be hiring people, and that they have not had to answer the questions that the anybody who's applying for this money usually has to have answer. I mean, the whole issue of labor practices, of paying prevailing wage, of hiring local labor for any of this project is unknown because we aren't dealing directly with the retailer. We're dealing with the developer. I also just have to reemphasize the idea that this sales tax figure, you know, it is best guess calculation, but we don't know what percentage of that money is money that would have already been in this county, that people would have bought their goods at another store in this county. So if you're looking at that whole figure and thinking, man, this is going to give us a percent off our tax levy, I think that is unrealistic. I think that we don't know. And frankly, the cost in this to us and the benefit, I'm obviously going to vote against it.
Thank you, Dooley, and then Dave.
Thank you. I raised my hand only because I forgot to say a couple of things earlier, and I'd like to at least get one of them on the record. And that is, I was very impressed with the way the developer worked with the Village of Lansing to really improve the initial presentation, the initial ideas of the project. I think the one that Lansing wound up with looks really good. I wish it were multi-story. That's Lansing's decision. You know, I can't change any of that. But I wanted to give credit where I thought it was due. The other point I want to make is it's entirely too easy because it's seductive. When you say we're in hard economic times and anything that's going to increase sales tax potentially by as much as this, we've got to support. When decisions are made that way because of the immediate economic distress people feel, you often wind up regretting things in the future. And that's something that people tend not to stop and think about. That's all.
Thank you, Dooley. Dave.
Okay. Well, first thing I'd like to say is that I don't see too many companies knocking down the door to move into Tompkins County. We've got a major company that wants to move into the county, wants to put up a business, wants to provide us sales tax and property tax. We're damn fools not to take advantage of it, in my opinion. Okay? I mean, $30,000 in property taxes versus $250,000 in property taxes. Zero sales tax versus upwards of $750,000 divided amongst the communities. It's a no-brainer. That's my opinion, and I'm going to support it.
All right. I think we're probably ready to vote.
Yes. We have a roll call, Madam Chair.
Peter? What? Peter?
It was on your list, that's all.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't. Peter, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't write you down. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, I guess I really am just going to repeat what, of course, everything's been said, so I want to repeat at least what some people said and probably myself. But just to respond to things that Frank said and Brian said and Leslin said and my colleague to the left said, there's no question that there is leakage. No one disputes that. Anytime you make a business, no matter what you start up, you provide a job, at least some jobs, and you provide at least some sales tax. I never saw a business that gave zero sales tax or a business that had zero jobs. So that's not the issue. The issue is if that's the only argument that says that if it creates jobs and if it provides sales tax, then we should approve it, then the IDA ought to approve everything that comes to them because all things have that characteristic. The issue is how much of each. And it has to be more than just some of each. So I think it is legitimate to question the predictions that are made in support of this, and to balance them against the loss of property tax. That's all.
Thank you, Peter. Yes, we'll have a roll call.
Thank you.
All right.
Do you want to read the title again?
No. It's the whole thing. It's not separate. You all have it in front of you.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robison?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
No.
Mr. Burbank?
No.
Ms. Chalk?
No.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
No.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsee?
No.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
No.
Eight ayes, six noes.
All right. I think we'll take a 10-minute break. If everybody comes back here, yeah.
Refresh.
17 after, please. Thank you.